Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So hello and welcome to Charlton Live. It's yet another lockdown podcast for you on your Saturday afternoon. My name is Louis Mendez and we've got a packed phone line once more as we get ready to celebrate this week's takeover. And when I say this week, I do genuinely mean this week because there's bound to be another one next week, isn't there? At the rate things go, we're going to discuss the ins and outs of everything that's happened this week, all of the potential outcomes from what's occurred so far. We'll discuss potential insolvency action against the club that a former friend of ours has decided to talk about. We'll hear about Roland de Châtelet's apparent reaction to what's happened. We'll try and find out a little bit more about Paul Elliott, the new owner, apparently not the one from the Chuckle Brothers. So we'll discuss all of that. We're also, of course, going to turn our attention to the football. We're now just a week away from the Addicts returning to action. We're going to discuss the rumour that's broken overnight that Lyle Taylor might have made a bit of a U-turn. So we're going to try and find out a little bit more about what's going on there. We're also going to hear, of course, from Lee Bowyer and from Chuck Sanike as we get ready to return to playing action. So let's bring in the people we have on the phone. In one, we've got the grand old man of Charlton Live. It's Terry Smith. How you doing, Terry?
Yeah, morning, Louis. All good, yeah? Yourself?
Yeah, not bad. You had a good week. Have you taken over the club this week? I've sort of lost track of who has and who hasn't.
I just got beaten to it. I mean, I feel like a contestant that on a NAF game show. I just get in there too late. I was there poison ready, but just missed my slot.
Story of your life there. And also also on the phone, we've got Mark Newbury. How you doing, Mark? The chef?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. Had a good week. So.
Yeah, still halfway through feeding the twins.
I owned it Wednesday afternoon between 5:10 and 5:17.
So. Oh, good. Well done. Well, in fairness, one of the more successful owners we've had this week then. Finally, of course, we should bring in Mr. Nathan Muller, who's currently sat in the oven, apparently. How you doing, Nath?
Living the dream, my friend.
Yeah.
Loving it. Loving life. Nice. The sun is shining.
Yeah. What are you cooking then? Because there was some sort of confusion just before we came on air that you were stuck in an oven.
Not me. I've not decided to cook myself. I'm just cooking some like chicken breast and sweet potato. Yeah. Literally nothing exactly exciting to tickle your taste buds.
Yeah, I'm sure if you did cook yourself, you'd be absolutely delicious, Nathan. Right, let's get into the action then. So this week it was announced sort of by the press on Monday evening. We'd been expecting like some sort of takeover, exchange of shares, some new person owning ESI, and it was announced towards the beginning of the week that it's Paul, a businessman called Paul Elliott. Apparently this has all been organised by Tanoon's lawyer, Chris Farnell, and all of a sudden we're owned by a man called Paul Elliott. Thank God it's all over, Terry, and we can all just go back to normal.
Well, yes. I mean, I was half expecting them. You know, they've recreated these old game shows on the television currently. I was sort of half expecting for Charlton to be one of the prizes in the contest. They come on down, you know, guess the prize is right. I reckon it's worth a pound. You're in. Well done.
Yeah, we're just going down on Jim Davidson's Generation Show conveyor belt just behind the stuffed toy.
We would just be on the cuddly toy, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. We shouldn't laugh, but you got to, haven't you? Because otherwise you just carry on crying. I don't know. I mean, I have said in the past on this very show that my thought was that this would be just a switch, and my hope was that it was just to get rid of somebody from the Manchester area. Looks like we've got another one from that very zone instead. And therefore, then we could go onwards from this point, and that's still obviously everybody's hope that it is just a sideways move that then we can go forward. But with what's happened subsequently afterwards, that the court the writ or whatever, you know, somebody suing us because of unfair dismissal or whatever it is, I don't know. Almost immediately afterwards. You know, if you're into your conspiracy theories, then there are all sorts of possibilities. This could be part of. Was it just all just a scam that in order for people to make money out of court settlements and you know, writs and all this sort of stuff. And is that purely the only reason that anybody got involved? You know, who knows? I mean, it's just like probably the worst Bond film you've ever had, isn't it? Even worse than that Neff one with Casino Royale with David Niven.
Yeah, 007 in SE7. Exactly. And it's extremely confusing to work out exactly what's going on. I mean, we know very little about Paul Elliott at the moment, Mark. I mean, that's probably the base where you want to stand from, the man who now is apparently leading this consortium, or has somehow rolled the dice and ended up at the front of this consortium. I mean, it's interesting to use the phrase consortium when you only know one person in it, and all you know about him is he's got a desk and a laptop.
Well, that's the criteria. I think that's it for all of us, isn't it? It's hard to follow because, like you say, there's obviously a lot more to it, and he's a middleman for somebody. And if it's purely just to stop someone in Manchester stopping any sale, which I think is possibly what it's been, is why the other court orders come out, which when you look at it, it just seems like a liberty of, you know, invoices he needs paying for himself. I'm thinking, well, tell you what, mate, you can have a pound and you can collect it from the valley on a match day when we're back in there. And see if you want to come and collect it. You know, I think that's fair. So, but with this Paul Elliott, I say it is a bit of a mystery, you know, where the money is and what's happening with everything. As to where it goes from here, I'm as in the dark as everyone else. I mean, anyone who goes on Twitter and say, I know, no, you don't. You know, you don't know, no one knows. So, and that's where we are at the moment.
Yeah, it's certainly a confusing situation, Nathan. And as Terry mentioned at the top of the show, there's always been this feeling that the club was going to be moved on from Tanoon, you know, for a low sum, for a pound that was being reported again, so that Matt Southall would only get 35p from his 35% of shares. And then this new potentially Tanoon Namir friendly group might then start to move on. I mean, that's why it's hard to read exactly what's going on behind the scenes. We know that Peter Varney said he's still interested in having conversations with Paul Elliott, and maybe we'll come on to that a little bit more in more detail later on. Is that how you see it? I mean, there's interviews with Paul Elliott where he's talking about the future for the club. He's not in it to make a quick buck, but I guess if you are in it to make a quick buck, you're highly unlikely to come out and say that you are.
Well, no, exactly. I think, also when I first saw the all the rumours and all that sort of jazz, I didn't really read much into it. I've said on the previous podcast, I'm just a bit bored of it, to be honest.
Mm. Yeah, I really ought to stop getting you on for this bit.
But I thought it was the old footballer. It was only when I saw his picture on the website the other day, I go, yeah, he looks a little bit different than I remember.
Did you really go all those that long? Because, I mean, as soon as the name came out, I did think, because I know Paul Elliott had been linked, but then, like, even the quickest Google showed it wasn't him.
So I just assumed, I was like, okay, oh, yeah, at least it's someone coming in, you know, and that's when I thought it was a Peter Varney thing. So, like, yeah. I was like, okay, cool, yeah, leave it. And then the thing come out, and I remember seeing, like, who's this geezer then? Who's this chap on the behind with a flashy mouse? I don't know who this is. But, I mean, yeah, I think the thing with me, like you were saying, the thing that I'm always dubious of is even when Roland and stuff come in, unless you have an affiliation with a club, you're always going to question what the motive is, and the motive is 99% of the time due to money. I'm not saying if we get Peter Varney, it's not going to be motivated by money, because obviously, you know, people want to return investment, but I don't even know this chap is. I mean, does he live in Manchester as well? I mean, because it just looks like it's literally like, if it's just like him getting his mate from down the blooming Nag's Head after drinking a couple of Fosters, go, do me a favour, please, Paul. Can you take ownership of this for a minute? I've got to sort a couple of things out, and then we'll all get it sweet, and then I'll buy you a beer after. That's what it seemed like. But, I mean, I don't know if it is going to be a vehicle for, you know, Varney or whatever. I don't know, because, again, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I know. But it's just weird. But all I will say is the statement that he said, there was a few snippets in there which he seemed very open to future investment or bringing in other people who know how to do the role, which I found was interesting. I've never really heard that before. It's like when Sheikh Mansour went over at Man City, he didn't come in and go, yes, I'm here, but any more investment would be welcomed, or I'd look at it and all that. It doesn't happen, and that's why I just think I'm not going to get excited for it. I'm just going to concentrate on the football. But I'm just confused by it all, mate, to be honest, and it's just boring.
Yeah, it sounds like, and you also made quite the accusation there that people might have been drinking in a pub recently. But the you mentioned then that Paul said he was open to investment. He said on the club website, if someone wants to come along and put money into the club as an investment, then the door is open and we are willing to speak to people because it is what the club needs. If someone can do a better job, then I am happy to work with other people. So, I mean, they've made it clear that apparently it was him and his mates who put money in to pay the wages last month, Terry. But, I mean, again, look, without knowing much about the bloke, when you Google him, like, you're not sitting here thinking, oh, this is a bloke who's getting ready to finance a promotion challenge. I mean, this does feel very much like, I mean, we don't really know what this guy's wealth is and who's behind him. It does feel, again, temporary to me. It doesn't feel like he's got any real substance behind it. And I haven't been proven wrong in that respect so far at all.
True enough, but mind you, if he does drink down an egg's head, then he's okay by me. Especially if I want to find out where this is and bust him to go out for a pint. it is a bit, well, I wouldn't say concerning, but it is a bit strange when, you know, all the get out clauses are there in the opening statement, even before he's got his feet under any table, let alone the valleys. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I said it on, and I'm sure other people have said it as well, and I've mentioned it earlier. The hope is that he's an intermediary just to be there to be able to shift ESI sidewards to enable the other regime to disappear, so then to be then sold on to people who actually know what they're doing and can move us forward. Having said that, even if that is the case, they've still got to deal with our friend in Belgium, which is a whole new ball game and a whole different one as well. You know, that's almost the best case scenario. The worst case, of course, is that it's all just been a front for people making a quick quid. And we really hope that's not the case. I mean, nobody knows who this Paul Elliott is. I mean, as you say, everybody assumed immediately it was our centre half of years gone by.
Or the one of the Chuckle Brothers that's still alive, yeah.
We're getting to the point now where the Chuckle Brothers probably would have been a better option.
Well, he's a football man. He goes to Rotherham every week, doesn't he?
Well, there you go. But nobody knows. And that, you know, I don't know if that's deliberate because, you know, everybody's been desperately searching to find out, you know, what Paul Elliott's background is and does he have any money. I'm not entirely sure why you'd bother because even if the best case scenario is true, then he wouldn't. He'd just be there to steady the ship. Maybe he's taking a loan out to pay the wages, knowing that he's going to get some money back when it does get sold on.
Yeah, interesting line in his original interview about how he's not in the club to take out money and cars and stuff. Nice little dig there.
That he can claim, don't he?
Yeah, exactly. It's a lovely flat going as well if he's desperate for somewhere to go. We had the emotional, of course, goodbye from Tanun Namir, Mark, and I dare say you had a tear in your eye when he was talking, saying, "I've made the difficult decision, having received advice and listening to fans' wishes to hand the club over to a consortium that will have sufficient time and be in a position to take the club forward. And I would like to reassure you that I have at all times sought to do all that is right for our club and its fans. I have made the decision to ensure the club is in the best position to move forward and re-establish itself into football's elite." I don't know if I'm just jaded by the whole situation, but when he started talking about Charlton re-establishing themselves within football's elite, I thought, you're taking the piss there after that, because come on.
Yeah, it did seem like at the end of a statement he would then go, plus I've got 5 magic beans if anyone wants to buy them. It's a scam. It's just. I mean, I think we've the word chance has been used predominantly for the last couple of months with this lot, and you know he's probably looking to do something. I wouldn't be surprised if it comes out in a wash that there wasn't a big bust up between him and the other one, and if they've because I said there's 5 Range Rovers, 3 have been returned, 2 are missing. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's driving around in one, and someone else in Manchester's driving around in the other one. It does seem like an odd statement to put out. Yeah. You know, he turned up for one game, had the waves, had the accolades, and then said, "Well, I'm not going to put any money in to you." I mean, "Oh, I've taken this difficult decision." Thinking, no, you haven't. You've been found out that you haven't got a pot to pee in. you know, and you're trying to get as much as you can out of being the middleman for a couple of months. And, you know, the only thing about this is that Terry says about, you know, how's Roland going to deal with it? I'm thinking this must be driving him up the wall, which I'm thinking, you know what, actually the only small bit of pleasure I derive from all of this fiasco which is going on.
Yeah.
Thinking if he'd done the right thing years ago and sold it at a proper price that it was worth, instead of trying to get, you know, be a huge businessman and double his money, it would all be over. It would all be finished with. But, you know, he decided to try and hold out. A couple of chances came in, blinded him with magic beans. And so, you know, Roland sitting steaming is probably one of the only few things which keeps my blood pressure down.
Yeah, well, I mean, as you can see, yeah, the confusion surrounding the entire situation has left people really wondering what exactly is going on behind the scenes, and it has proven very confusing. I mean, Mark mentioned there Roland du Châtelet. Of course, we know that there was this $50 million deal to buy the stadium and the training ground off Roland to ESI. Now, soon after the shares were moved on to Paul Elliott and his consortium, whoever they are. Ben Ramson from Sky reported that Roland was furious, and that the makeup of the deal between ESI and Roland meant that now Roland can call in that $50 million straight away. Nathan, I mean, if that is the case, got a horrible feeling he's going to be left rather disappointed.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, if you're calling on, you know, trying to call $50 million from a club, you know, that he said that was worth. He knew what was in the bank, and he knew the revenue streams, and he knows he hasn't got it. But, I mean, obviously, with part of the deal, I can imagine he's obviously a bit furious because he's done all this negotiation with ESI, and all of a sudden we've got Tom, Dick and Harry who's turned up, and he doesn't even know they are. So he doesn't know if he's $50 million, if he's actually going to get it. So he actually might think he's getting shafted. But I don't know. We'll have to...
He's only got himself to blame for that, though, surely, Nathan. I mean, he's put himself in this situation where he's agreed as Mark was saying, he's agreed a deal with people who don't have money. You know, his greed got the better of him, and he decided to try and get as much money as possible without really checking that the people he's dealing with are going to have access to those funds.
Oh, mate, yeah, listen, there's going to be no... If Roland don't get his 50... If he only gets 50 pence, I'll be cracking up. Honestly, it'd probably be the best day of my life. But I think that I think it goes back. So for me, the whole thing with Tanoon, when he said ta-ta, was like, if he really had the ambition of what he said at the beginning and all that, then he would have made a way that he could probably still stay and maybe try and win the fans over. So in my opinion, I don't think that he's got the money that he says he has, or the money that he has got, he knows isn't going to satisfy the EFL, which, whatever way you want to look at it. So, for me, I mean, I don't know if, obviously, if it is the case, if Roland's been sold this dream and he's been... It's actually quite funny thinking about it, really. If we say, yeah, this geezer's absolutely minted, look at him, and Roland's rubbed his hands going, yeah, I'll have that 50 million, yeah, lovely, jubbly. And then all of a sudden we go, nah, sorry, mate, change of plan. A couple of weeks later, a couple of months later, he's going to be fuming. But there's no sympathy for me.
According to your impression that Roland du Châtelet comes from Peckham. And and by the sounds of it, Tanoon Namir does as well. Terry, I mean, one thing that we haven't mentioned yet is, of course, the new ownership have yet to pass the EFL ownership and directors test. I mean, that's something we could have said on every show for the last 6 months, because every owner we've had since then, third owner this year as well, it's crazy. I mean,
as long as they got an R in their name, they should be all right. Shouldn't they?
I mean,
that's how it works.
Yeah. So because.
I mean, I don't think they're bothered, to be honest. If they can hand it across quickly enough, it won't matter. If that's what the end game is. I don't think anybody knows what the end game is, of course. It does smack me, and you know, listening to all the boys. I mean, personally, I think it's du Châtelet trying, not necessarily greed, just trying to get back what he lost because of his mismanagement, because of that utter cock-up from start to finish. That he's had to plough into money into a loss-making business because he hasn't run it properly, and he's trying to get that back, probably for pride more than anything else, rather than greed. Because he probably wouldn't, you know, he wouldn't lose sleep over 50 million going missing. He's probably had his shares wiped out by that much in the last couple of months. than the other two. You get the feeling it's like two guys fighting over a steering wheel when neither of them have actually got a car. Because it doesn't look like either of them had any money. Yet they were trying to fight over ownership of a club that needs what they're saying about 10 million quid a month to operate with.
Not 10 million money, a quid. Not 10 million a month, surely.
$10 million a year, roughly. Yeah.
Unless that's yours and Greg's wages for commentating.
Well, yeah, you know, I didn't want to mention it. Obviously, we're the ones who got that car. So if you haven't got any money and you know how much it costs to run the club, even just to stay with your head above water, how does that happen? You know, how do you then operate? How do you then go ahead with any sort of business plan if you know you haven't got the money to run it?
So, exactly. And that's why it's interesting, because, of course, and I know I wasn't the only one. I did put in an interview request to speak to Paul Elliott this week, but my understanding is he's not going to be speaking to anyone until the EFL test is passed, is what I've heard. But, of course, that does mean we're in this little... this little space in time now where he hasn't passed it, but also at the same time we haven't really been able to stick too many questions to him, and maybe put him on the spot slightly to find out a little bit more about what he actually wants to do with the club, or what his plans supposedly are.
Well, we're getting that unless he's got a criminal record, passing the fit and proper persons thing will be easy. You know, you get the impression that as long as as I say, there's no skeletons in the closet, then fit and proper is fine. It's the proof of funds and money is the second issue and the bigger one, which takes a bit longer than to so you can then pass the fit and proper directors test, owners and directors test, and then the second part is the funds, proof of funds, which then takes usually a couple of months, by the way, this is the past is anything to go by. And by that time, I'm guessing that they've got somebody with money that either comes in and puts money into a club and says, right, we're going to be shared ownership. Or just takes it off their hands.
I mean, you say it takes a couple of months. I mean, my understanding was that we were put under a transfer embargo after 10 days because you have 10 days to prove it to the EFL. So it shouldn't take a couple of months. It should be doable in 10 days. You should have this this prepared. But obviously that hasn't been the case yet. I mean, Lee Bowyer did make some comments about the takeover. Mark, he said, and Paul Elliott, he said... by the sounds of it, he sounded pretty positive. He described it as a positive change. He said he spoke to Paul Elliott before it became public, which was a nice thing to do. And he was, I think, his main concern was the wages being paid. I mean, you're not going to hear much different. You're not going to hear much different from Lee Bowyer at this time, are you?
No, I mean, potentially I'd say with the Paul Elliott thing, he may have an investor lined up who's saying, look, I'm willing to invest if you're still in the Championship next season, because that gives us a bigger base, you know, potentially more money coming in. And so he doesn't probably want to, he's not showing all his cards at the moment. Because if he turns around and says, oh, I might have someone, but it all depends on, you know, if we stay up, it puts pressure on Bowes and the boys. I think the way it is, you know, obviously Bowyer's going around doing his day-to-day job, so, you know, with the coaches and the players, trying to get them focused on just one thing, and that's playing football, which is what you expect from Bowes and Jacko, really. They're not going to be going, you know, why aren't we being 100% right? You know what, we're football managers, we're football coaches, we get the players playing, that's all we can do. That's all we can affect at the moment, and staying up, staying in the division is for number one priority. You know, that's their main focus. I mean, it's good if he's spoken to Paul Elliott, but I should imagine Elliott's probably said to him, you know what, I can't tell you much, but, you know, it's imperative that we stay in this division, which Bowyer knows anyway. So, you know, there's not really a lot else Bowes can do about it. And I wouldn't really expect anything else. I think he's always been, you know, he's got one eye down the road on where he wants the club to be going, but he also understands that he's got to deal with what the situation is at this very moment, which, you know, his focus will be who's fit, who's going to be playing at Hull.
Well, yeah, that's always been his mantra, isn't it? He can only control the things that he can control. Now, Nath, of course, we talked about Peter Varney and Andrew Barkley last week. You know, Varney's been in the press a bit this week saying he's there's still a chance he can progress. I mean, one interesting bit was where Paul Elliott said he's open to like a CEO and more investment coming in. So, I mean, you'd be surprised if Paul Elliott would stick around with Varney. You'd think Varney would want sort of to do things on his own, but that's just the way I'm guessing at the moment more than anything. there's still hope, and that probably helps to add fuel to the fire of people thinking surely this is just, you know, some people taking the club off Tanoon cheaply to screw over Matt Southall, and then moving it on to someone who's a serious bidder who is going to reunite the stadium and the training ground with the club, and sort out the ex-director's complications as well, and then look to take the club forward and run it properly.
Yeah, I mean, for me, if the rumours are true that, the rumours that Peter Barney has come out and said that he's going to have talks and that, but I mean, for me, the key would be what Barney would see himself as, because he doesn't seem, if he came in as a CEO, say, for example, it's not going to affect Paul Elliott. And if it is Andrew Barclay who puts the money in, he might not have the time to be a chairman, or so he could just be maybe an investor, so to speak, like he puts the money in and he'll get a return or whatever. And then you've just got Paul Elliott, who's, I mean, if Barney does come in, all it might mean is if he comes in as CEO and Elliott's chairman, he might not have to do much. He might just to be the name as a chairman, and Andrew Barclay would just be the main investor, which could work. But I guess we just have to wait and see. But I mean, he does gear towards that it was a vehicle just to get someone else in. But again, if Barclay does invest, like the chaps were saying, it might depend on what division we're in, really. But it's hard because you don't want to put Bozan out under pressure.
Yeah, it's such a fluid situation with so many variables going into it at the end of the season, of course, where we're going to be in terms of division. Whether Roland Duchatelet is going to be open to renegotiation possibly might be a big part of that as well. Now, I mean, the final thing that caught a little bit of the attention this week, Terry, we probably ought to mention it. Matt Southall is got involved again, as he can't keep himself away, can he? apparently, he's going to put some sort of high court insolvency action against the club for a 7-figure fee, which is a lot of money. this is the bit that made me laugh most about it, is that Matt Southall's his lawyer is called Paul Daniels, because I thought he was dead, but then he's a magician, so he could have just magicked himself back alive. And he's saying that that Matt Southall was treated blatantly, unlawfully, and wrongfully dismissed in breach of contract. Substantial claims are now in process against the club, which will be vigorously pursued if they are not resolved amicably. Sorry, it's been a long week. I can't speak at the moment. Yeah, you know the word I mean. The club have come and said, Chris Farnell has said they're aware of Matt Southall's alleged claim, which we feel is entirely misplaced and ridiculous, and it will be vigorously defended. It is our intention to bring proceedings against Matt Southall and others arising out of his short tenure at the club. In the recent past, too much has been paid out in public, which is not professional and unfair on the Charlton fans, and with this in mind, we'll be not be making any further statements on this matter. But Terry, I mean, you feel free to make a statement on the matter yourself right now.
Yeah. Oh, there is so much you could say, isn't there? I mean, but most of it would be bleeped out. As it goes back to what I was saying earlier, either this is a desperate attempt from our friend Southall to get some money out of the club because he thought he was going to get more from his 35% shares, and so he's desperate to get something. So he might not expect to win, but most of these, I think, end up in out-of-court settlements, and it never goes to court. It's they agree, a mutually agreed out-of-court settlement. They'll never see the light of day because of all non-disclosure agreements, etc., so you'll never know. And I suspect that's, if it's purely Southall trying to just get something out of what he thought he was going to get originally, then that's what will happen. Worst case scenario is that this was all part of the original game, and it'll actually tip us over the edge as a club, because if we get relegated, if there is no funds, then the EFL will almost certainly dock us points anyway, because we can't fulfil fixtures, because we can't pay players. And as I say, this is worst case scenario. Then you know the insolvency agreement tips us over the edge, and they all pick the bones out of what's left. Worst case, that's stuff of nightmares. But you know, what other reason would these people have to get involved? And that's the only way we all know that's not true is if either Mr. Elliott comes good and with his consortium and actually has some financial backing, or hands it over to somebody who has. And even then, you know, everybody's talking about the trying to get on with the Châtelain stuff. But you know, there's no way on God's green earth anybody's going to pay $50 million for us. It's just not going to happen, ever. And so unless he's willing to take a haircut or unless there's an agreement can be made, anybody who's half decent, as they already have, will walk away. And that's the, again, worst case scenario, nightmare scenario.
Yeah, I mean, these sort of layers of complexity with the clubs is similar to what you saw at Bury, and it ended up putting people off. I mean, I know Bury had some issues with, I think, with the ownership of the stadium as well. But Mark, I mean, when you see something like this, I mean, do you hope it is just a Matt Southall sort of wee-weeing in the wind a little bit, trying to see what will happen? Or do you fear it's a case that it might start to put off people like Peter Varney? Because, you know, does Peter Varney and Andrew Barkley really want to have to deal with a club that's got this many issues? Although I guess you will say they already know about these issues anyway, and they still seem keen, but it certainly won't assist them if they are to take over the club afterwards.
Well, he does love a letter from a solicitor, doesn't he, Mr. Southall? The one which he sent off to a trust, which was literally sent back wrapped around a brick and telling him where to put it. You know, and he's trying to, you know, did he threaten Jamie O'Hara with legal action and legal action, legal action? Oh, no, he's trying to bully people, and he's thinking, right, I'm going to be a pain unless you pay me off. I'm thinking, you've already had probably, you know, optimistically a million out of a club in the 3 months you were there. So where's that and what's that for? So, you know, you'd like to think that it could be, like they say, rigorously defended, and, you know, he'd been holed up to be the manipulator of truth, I think, as he was. You know, it's, we all remember on the, you know, we were under the embargo, which we didn't know, and there's him posting out pictures saying, oh, ready for a busy night, you know, in the transfer window, loads of big deals being done, and you're thinking, no, mate, you know, you've been found out, and you're trying to hide behind the solicitor's letter, you know, which they're going to look and go, you know what, anyone worth their salt would look at what you've brought and what you've done and gone, well, hold on a minute. You know, you are exactly a snake oil salesman. You know, a fool in Belgium believed you and is going to bite you on the bum, and that you should be actually paying us. So, but, you know, he does like his letters.
Yeah, so there's certainly accusations flying all over the place, and again, it's become confusing. I mean, I think Matt Southall still claims he's done nothing wrong, which is, you know, not the way a lot of people see it, but it's certainly the way he does. Right, I think we should have a break here. We've discussed enough all the chaos that's surrounding the club. Who knows where we're going to be again this time next week by the time we actually get back to playing football. Who's going to own the club then? Who knows? But we'll find out in due course. Right, let's have a quick break. We'll be back in 30 seconds here on Charlton Live.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across. Bowers there. Pierce is there. Bowers with a header. And it's shot.
Yes!
Oh, it's
in!
Oh, he's got it! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty! Woo! Dreamland! Charlton have scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, too.
Get in! Come on! What a time to be a hero!
Here at Wembley!
Oh my word! Oh my word!
Charlton Live.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is a lockdown podcast for you. We'll probably just quickly delve into what's the plan going forward. Obviously, football's returning next Saturday. I think there's an outside chance I might even actually be able to get to the whole game. I'm confused as that might be the only game I'm going to get to report on. But as of next Sunday, we'll sort of be going back to doing post-game shows, and of course we'll be playing twice a week, you know, mainly on Tuesdays or Wednesdays, so there will be in terms of the midweek game, so there will be a case of we'll be putting out a show after each game, not necessarily on the same day, probably the day after, to try and sort of look back at whatever's happened in each game. I haven't decided yet if we're doing one midweek this week. It depends on a few things, but if I get a chance, we will do a midweek show previewing the whole game as well. But yeah, as of next week, we're hoping to go back to two shows a week to discuss each game as it happens. Of course, if you look on the Charlton website now, there's some indication of how you'll be able to watch those games. The Millwall game's been going to be put on Sky, so that's going to be on Sky TV, or as a season ticket holder, you'll be able to watch it on Valley Pass. Otherwise, I think all the games are on Valley Pass. Season ticket holders have got refunds in their account, which they can spend on watching the games on Valley Pass. That's the way I've read it. But there's plenty more details on the club website there. So, I mean, it's great to think, guys, that in a few days' time, you know, whether it's at home or in the stadium, for some of us, we don't really know exactly yet. But we're actually going to be watching some football, and it's such a relief tale. And obviously part of that is, you know, was it last week or the week before, we were discussing the fallout from the fact that Lyle Taylor's decided he doesn't want to play along with Chris Solly and David Davis. Now, overnight, there's been a can of worms opened by The Sun, which implied the story might not be fully over, in suggesting that Lyle Taylor had made a complete U-turn. Now, Lyle then said on Instagram to a fan that it wasn't true, but I mean, trying to do a little bit of digging, I don't think it's quite as clear-cut as the story's not true, full stop. By the sounds of it, there does seem to be some sort of renegotiation going on. We don't know yet, but I mean, we may or may not hear what might happen. It's impossible to say he's definitely not playing now. That's not we're not in the situation we were a week ago in terms of that. I mean, what do you make of that, Tel?
But if Lyle said no, then it's going to be very hard for him to go back and say, actually, I was only joking, yes I am. And where the story originated from, The Sun, it was our friend Mr. Nixon, who hasn't exactly been 100% accurate with this stuff about Charlton. He blocked me quite early on from Twitter when I came back to him about something he posted on Lee Bowyer about Lee Bowyer leaving before the end of the season, halfway through the season, before the whole pandemic. So I went back and said, you clearly don't know anything, because you clearly don't know Lee Bowyer and what he's planning to do at Charlton. And he blocked me so instantly. So I think he does tend to be one of these reporters that pees in the wind and hopes some of it actually hits where it was intended. As soon as Lyle Taylor rather came out virtually instantly and said no, albeit on Instagram too. I don't know who it was to, actually. Nobody's quite sure.
To a supporter, I think.
Yeah, so if he said no, then it's unlikely, isn't it? I mean, he wouldn't say no. I mean, if he'd either just not answer it if there was negotiations to be had in that respect. I can't see it happening personally. And plus, I'm assuming he hasn't been training with the squad because of him not playing, originally saying he's not playing. So would he have time between now and next week to get up to speed with the squad? So he'd end up, by the time he's fit, his contract would be up anyway.
I mean, Mark, if he does come back, if that is what transpires, do you see that as a positive, or do you see that as a further distraction now? You know, all eyes are going to be on Lyle Taylor again because he's made this big thing of not playing and all of a sudden he's back.
No, I see it as a total negative. I don't think he's going to come back because, you know, he was, to give him a little credit, and very little credit, he said to Bowyer, I can't give you 100% because I'm thinking of my move. Now, suddenly he's going to say, well, actually, I can give you 100%. And if I get injured and I'm going to lose my big move, I'm okay with that. That's not going to happen. He's not going to about turn that fast. It's Also, I did talk about it last week. I was thinking, if he did play for those three games and he doesn't go for a goal, people are going to be going, he could have got that. You know, he's not trying, he's not trying. And it's going to pay almost like a double negative effect. It's not fair on the players who have gone back. I mean, you're going to play an interview with Chucks. I mean, and he's looking tasty. And then you're thinking, fine, I want Bond, I want Green, I want Chucks. I want people who want to be here and want to try. I mean, a good example is look at Cullen. You know, he's not even our player, and he's gone, I want to play for the club. If Lyle didn't want to play for us, fine. He's gone, he's forgotten about, he's a sub bit on the bottom of a page somewhere. I'm not going to join the Lyle Taylor show and say, oh, isn't it so great? We get relegated, but we go relegated with players who are trying and want to be at the club. So it's not about him. I don't think it's going to happen anyway. I think, like Terry said, I think the guy's just throwing something out there, you know, and be like, I would be very surprised if Bowyer welcomed him back with open arms, because he's going to say, well, actually, you know, we've been planning without you, and so, you know, you're not going to do it. Mm. So I don't expect to see him in a shirt.
But Nathan, isn't Lyle Taylor too good a player to turn down in our current situation?
Yeah, he's a good player. Of course he is. But I think for me, I think that ship's already sailed, Lou. I mean, none of us are going to say that he isn't a good player. None of us are. And none of us are going to say that we're not a better team with him in it. But I think for me, when he made his choice, and it's like, you know, he's made his bed now, he can lay in it for me. And listen, I don't wish any ill feeling towards him, like let him crack on, because it's football at the end of the day. But I said on last week's show that my focus is now on the players, and it has been, and so has it been for Bose, and we're planning without him. For him to come straight back in the team, and let's say he starts, for me, that's a big insult to the players, because there's going to be someone who's sitting on that bench who has said from the get-go, no, I'm playing. Look, like Mark just said, Josh Cullen, he didn't have to do that. He's going to be playing the Premier League next year, whether he's here or not. Do you know what I mean? So I just think it'll be a massive kick in the teeth to some of the players if Lyle just decides all of a sudden that he fancies it. And the thing is for me is, if let's say he does go and do it, right? Mike, that's suggesting to me that he hasn't got moves there. Because I was under the impression, in my opinion, that he was doing it because he didn't want to ruin a big move, because maybe he had something in the pipeline. Because if he then goes and plays, I don't think his new club, if he has one, they're going to be too impressed if he does get injured. So that's what I don't think it is. But listen, it's Lyle in the limelight, and I know that's, you know, that's his choice. But for me, I just think it's just ignore it and just focus on the ones that actually want to play for the club and going to give 100%, which he said that he couldn't promise Bowes.
Well, let's have a listen to what Lee Bowyer has to say then, now that Nathan's talking about focusing on players who are still here. Obviously, as we were recording last week, we sort of half mentioned the Arsenal game that was happening. We were sort of sworn to secrecy to say we didn't really know it was happening, but we did. But anyway, we lost that 6-0, but we got minutes in the tank, which is the most important thing. There was an in-house game between the players at the Valley in midweek. They're due to play Fulham today. I'm not entirely sure where, but again, you're not going to hear anything official until after the game, but that was already put in the Sun that we're playing Fulham today. So again, final minutes into the tank before we head up to Hull last week. So Lee Bowyer spoke to Tom Rubichaud from the club the other day after the in-house game, and he was asked how the squad is progressing ahead of next week's game with Hull.
All the teams are going to be a little bit rusty. We'll get a good idea on the weekend, when we play the weekend, where we're at. But from what I've seen in the short space of time I've been in, we're looking in good shape.
And things like this, I guess, games like this are important just in terms of that preparation for that first game against Hull.
Yeah, it's just about getting some minutes in. So that's all these games are, and getting them used to playing on that big area again, you know, and having a ball at their feet, decision making, and being in tight situations, being in attacking situations, defensive situations. So yeah, it's all about them things, really. Like I said, a couple of things we need to polish up on between now and Hull. But yeah, once we've got 10-12 days to do that, so we'll be ready come then. Still got plenty of time.
And is anyone, obviously it's the second game now, is there anyone over the games or in training that's sort of particularly impressed, either from a footballing or physical point of view?
Chatsunike, he's the first one that pops in my head.
Yeah.
He stepped up and he looks good. He looks good. Fitness is still a little bit low, Chucks. I think that's always going to be a problem with him. We've tried a lot of things with Chucks on the fitness side of things. And we have to be careful with him. Unfortunately, his body is one of them and them people who's got a big body, you know, he's got to carry a big body around.
Yeah.
That isn't easy, so we've got to manage that. But yeah, Chucks is definitely looking good. He done very well against Arsenal the weekend. Could score 2-3 goals in another day. The keeper made 2 great takes.
Yeah.
He looks a handful, and the lad can play. You know.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can just keep him fit. That's the most important thing from there to home. But he stands out for me as the one big plus. From what I've seen, AD scored a very good goal today.
Yeah.
In the game. So again, positive. Since we lost Connor, we ain't really got goals in the midfield. That was a plus. Sam Field, he played 30 minutes and again looked good. Still not there. He looked good. Didn't give the ball away. He looked quite good for how long he's been out, like, personally. He's another plus as well. Someone that we never thought would be playing for us again this season. So, I'd say. Who else?
I mean, Pagey, yeah. Just seeing him back out there.
One that's been at the scene. He's been off the scene for a long time, and he's looking good.
I guess. Just finally, and not that you're going to tell me the lineup, but you're starting to get a little bit closer in your mind to how you might look against Hull City, or is there still plenty of work for the players to do over the next week or so to impress?
No, it's competition for places, so it can change from day to day, week to today, and I might have ideas, and then even today in that game, I change things around and having a look at people with. Playing with different partners, it changes from day to day. If people step up and come to the front and be noticed and do the right things, then they'll be playing. I've told the players that, but they're all going to play a part time because it's crazy amount of games in a crazy amount of time.
Yeah.
So they will all be playing at some stage, 100%.
Yeah.
So we need them to get all of their fitness up the best we can. But it's in their hands. I've told them it's in their hands. Who wants to be the main people? Who wants to step up and be the main figures? It's good. It's competition for places. That's what we need.
There we go. That was Lee Bowyer then speaking to Tom Rubishaugh. He's sounding positive, you know, and he was asked to pick out some of the players that have impressed him. He mentioned Chucks and EK, Aidan McGeady was in there, Sam Field, you know, all positive signs. Lewis Page being back was a good one as well. As we heard towards the end there, every player is going to be involved in some way because there's so many games to be played in such a little amount of time. So absolutely everyone needs to be fighting fit and at the top of their game for this incredibly unusual running that we're going to be in.
Absolutely, and you know, you could look at it if you want to look at it coldly, as well as people. I think players want to play for Lee Bowyer and Johnny Jason, and you just get the feeling that Lebo's often mentioned the journey that they're on, and everybody seems to get it at the club. Well, most, the ones that are still here anyway. But even if you look at it coldly and you think, well, we've got 9 games left, each one of those players, especially the ones that are either on loan or coming towards the end of the contract, are playing for their futures. You know, regardless of whether they want to play at Charlton or not, and we get the feeling that most that are here do, you know, you've got players that want to impress, especially players like Josh Cullen. He's going to see how he's got an extension to the end of the season loan and wants to be here and wants to play. Even if it's only lip service, it's a great thing, and it is good, great professionalism, because he knows that he needs to show people his qualities. So, as in the best case scenario, we do get taken over, we've got money to spend, we buy him. Worst case scenario for him is that he impresses and somebody else picks him up. Either West Ham think, actually, this is too good a player to loan again, we want him in our Premier League side. So, and all the players are going to be similar to that. And I think genuinely, though, I know I said look at it coldly, but I do think genuinely this side that we've got, this squad of players that we've got, want to make sure Charlton stay in the Championship.
You know, the importance, I mean, we'll talk a bit more about Chooks later, Mark, because we've got an interview with him as mentioned. But, I mean, Aidan McGeady, someone who hasn't really impressed but apparently scored a good goal during midweek. Players like this, if they can come out of their shell and, you know, where we've had this difficult second half of the season with, you know, in some cases with players not quite performing how we'd like them to. I mean, that's the sort of boost we need going into these final 9 games.
It is. I mean, McGeady's, you know, to be honest, he's been a disappointment since he came, but you don't know his level of fitness. We know he's a quality-proof player. He's one of the more experienced players we've actually got in the squad. You know, he hasn't actually shown that yet, so possibly he's used the time off, as it were, to get himself properly fit. You know, it's almost like give himself a proper pre-season and then come back and look dangerous. And I think, you know, we've got so many dangerous players who, and you know, it's good to see Page back, and you know, you yearn for him to have a run of games, because you know he's a terrific player, you know, and you do, you know, worry with him, but you know, you're thinking you want to see that kind of player, and you want to see McGeady at full flight and putting in crosses and someone burying them. So we've got a dangerous team. You know, and I'm thinking, you know, if we can start picking some more goals up from midfield and all over the shop, we've got a very good chance. So, yeah, I mean, you yearn for players who have been slightly disappointing to come good now. So,
well, and one player who I guess might fall in that bracket for some people is Chucks Anike, someone who I saw a lot of potential in at the start of the season. I remember away at Barnsley. He came on and changed the game away at Reading. He played very well. I think at home against Stoke, obviously, he got his goal and he looked decent. But then ever since then, he's never really looked fully fit and had a few disappointing cameos. But I was excited to see that he seemed to have a few chances against Arsenal last weekend. And again, to hear that Boya suggested that he's looking sharp so far, he was the name that came to mind immediately, as we heard there in the interview with Tom Rubishow. So Chucks is someone who I want to concentrate on now. And let's hear from him as well. Obviously, the former Arsenal man played against his former club last week. He's looking sharp at the moment, and he was asked again by Tom Rubishow from the club how it feels to be back in training.
Yeah, it's been good. You know, obviously the corona, you know, period off was a bit boring. You know, a lot of us were just at home, we didn't have much to do, so it feels good to be back and, you know, with the lads and just playing football again.
Perfect. And what's it been like? How are you doing fitness wise?
Yeah, obviously, like I said, we've been off, but we were doing the runs, you know, that the club set us work to do off-season or when we were off that period. So, you know, we were still trying to keep as fit as we could. But, yeah, you know, obviously, it's a short kind of turnaround. The game's coming very soon, so it's going to be tough. But, you know, we're going to stick together and, you know, do the best we can.
And you've had a season with a few injuries. Are you feeling now sort of this break's helped you get into a little bit of sort of, I guess, rhythm in that side of things?
I'm definitely hoping so. You know, obviously, I can't know for sure. Obviously, like I said, I've had loads of injuries. And, you know, the break, it's kind of just, you know, we weren't playing football, so there was no way to really get injured. But, yeah, obviously, you just want to cross your fingers and just, you know, hopefully there's nothing around the corner for me. Just stay fit and play some football.
And away from the sort of training during lockdown, did you manage to get up to much else with any new skills?
To be honest, not really. You know, Nah, not really. A lot of it was just spent in the garden, just like soaking in the sun, really, if I'm honest. But yeah.
The weather was very nice, wasn't it?
It was unbelievable.
Get a chance to enjoy that. Yeah, obviously, you're back in training now. What was it like seeing the boys and getting back involved?
Yeah, it was great. You know, the first day, you know, just catching up with everyone. And, you know, see, it was kind of weird because you're with these boys all the time, every single day, and then you don't see them for a couple of months. So, yeah, it was good to catch up with everybody.
Perfect. And since then, taking on Arsenal, what was it like for you as, I guess, a former Arsenal player to be at the Emirates?
Yeah, it was really good, actually, and I really enjoyed playing at the Emirates. Obviously, I played a few times, obviously, coming up through the academy and things like that. But, you know, it was really good, you know. I saw my old under-18s manager, Steve Old, and played against a few people that I played against. I was there with. So, yeah, it was good, yeah.
Which players were they? Which players did you play against or play with when you were younger?
Well, when I was in the youth team, we played with Hector Bellerin, and I think, well, Martinez, the keeper, Emiliano Martinez. So it was good to catch up with those boys, yeah.
And I think you've been, well, as your kit shows, you've been in action again today. How was it being back at the Valley?
Yeah, it was good. Let's say we had like an in-house game, so you're trying to get fit and stuff. But yeah, it was good. You know, it was tough, but you know, we're working hard to get back. We've got a game coming up very soon, so you know, everyone's putting in work.
And what are your aims for the rest of the season?
Obviously, you know, the clear aim is to stay in the league. You know, it's clear for everybody to, you know, sort of pushing to stay in the league. So, you know, that's what everyone's focused on at the moment.
And a big game against Hull on June the 20th. I guess that's the focus of everyone at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, everyone knows that our position in the table and their position in the table makes it a lot more interesting. And, you know, that's a game that we know we have to go out and set out to win. Like I said, our overall aim is to stay in the division. So, you know, it's a game that it's very important for us.
And Charlton fans have seen you play as the number 10 and as a front two as well. Do you have any sort of, have you spoken much to the manager about where he might use you sort of in this running?
Not really. I'll be honest, I've played in both positions coming through or just in my career. So I kind of, you know, I don't really have a preference in which I play or whatever. Just wherever I play, you know, I try and do my best for the team and, you know, that's it. Try and help and score goals or make assists, really.
Chuck Sonique there, speaking to Tom Rubichaud from the club. Nathan, a player who, I mean, I've always thought his corner. I mean, how do you see the season he's had so far?
A bit part. I think we've all said on the show before, I think when Chuck's come in, it was something. Is that he was a player that we never really had for a long, long time. I mean, a lot of people see him as a forward. I personally don't. Whether or not that changes now, changes the dynamics of it, because now Lyle's gone, but saying that, we've still got Thomas, who's supposed to have turned up in good shape. And obviously you've got Macaulay Barn and Andre Green. I just think he offers us something that bit different, sitting in that little hole, using his power and, you know, his physical attributes. I'm glad that he's fit. I think there is something there, and I haven't really seen him too much. I mean, he scored against Stoke and obviously played that cameo at Reading. But yeah, it's been disappointment. But I'm not saying it's a disappointment because he's a poor player. I just think I haven't seen him enough as I would have liked. And probably, you know, like he probably said, and he's probably thought all season that he's not appeared enough, but sometimes injuries happen. But I think there's a player in there, and I think Mark touched on it. I think for me, Lewis Page is going to be such an important player. I mean, we've got Adam Matthews who can bomb down, and then Poet, and he's quite defensive, isn't he? So I think that's going to help. But with Chucks, I think it'll be interesting to see how Bowes uses him this year. If he does play behind the two, I mean, if you think about it, if let's say you brought him on, and then it's 1-1, and then you've got defenders, and then Chucks comes on, and then you've got Macaulay Bond, Andre Green, and Chucks and EK in front of her, there's not many teams that are going to enjoy that. And he's an absolute unit, isn't he? So hopefully he kicks on, because I really want him to do well, because I've liked him when he was at MK Dons. He's a very, very good player.
Excellent stuff. Right, so I mean, obviously, Just before we close the show, Terry, we're going into this situation now where, as we said, you know, there's not going to be any supporters there. I think that there's hardly going to be anyone in the stadium in terms of media or anything. It's going to be a completely bizarre atmosphere, and the club have gone to try and change that a little bit this week by following in the footsteps of a number of other sides and giving fans the opportunity to buy their own cardboard cutout to stick in the cardboard end choir. So sat behind the goal in the north in the lower covered end, £25 you can have your picture on it. Terry, are you gonna take up that option? It sounds like a bit of fun.
You know, I might, but it won't be a picture of me. I might, I'm thinking about putting a picture of the old man, so he can actually come back and see a game at the Valley, which would be, you know, see him in the crowd. You end do with the cardboard cutout afterwards is a bit strange, but I think, yeah, it's a great opportunity. I don't know if it's £25, maybe put some people off, because I know they've done it in rugby before. And it wasn't quite so expensive, so there ended up people sending pictures of their pets. So you had cardboard cutouts of cats, dogs, budgerigars, and all sorts of rabbits behind the uprights, as it were, in rugby. So I know, I think it's a decent idea. I think for me, as I say, I'm just toying with the idea of sending a picture of my dad, so as he can be back in the covered end again. Or somewhere back in the ground at the Valley, yeah. At all would be great. And I know a lot of people who have done it, so I think why not? It's a bit of fun. It's a nice thing. You can't be there if you can watch or listen and know that you're actually there in cardboard rather than in person. Why not?
Yeah, I think Ollie mentioned that they're checking with Seb Lewis's family as well if they'd be happy for the club to pay for one of Sebo as well, which would be nice. I mean, I know you wanted to get a Matt Southall one in there as well, Terry, though.
Yeah, but I was unsure about the shape of the cardboard cutout, though.
I don't know.
People can send in what they think the shape could be.
Can they get like a vinyl finish on it to make sure the head is really shiny as well? I mean, that's the sort of thing. That's the sort of thing we got to worry about. So that'll
didn't Mark mention snake oil?
Well, that would be something nice to see anyway. Right, I think we should draw the show to an end here. We've discussed everything that's gone on this week. Obviously, still a lot more questions than answers out there, but we've tried to get to the bottom of it. So thanks to all of you who've listened. Thanks to Terry, to Mark and to Nathan for joining me on the show this week.
Cheers, guys. Thank you. You're welcome.
So I've been Louis Meadows. Thanks for listening. As I said, we're not entirely sure yet if we'll be doing anything in midweek ahead of the whole game. Keep an eye on our social media pages to find out that for certain, or of course on your podcast feed. But if not, we'll definitely be back next weekend. It'll be on Sunday, of course, because the first game is against Hull on Saturday. I'm hoping to be at the game, but even if I'm not, we'll be covering the game in some sort of description on the Sunday, looking back at it. Hopefully we'll have some sort of reaction from managers, players or whatever as well. So I'm really looking forward to seeing the guys get back into action. So thanks for listening. I've been Louis Meadows, and we shall see you at some point in the next few days.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.